Lifestyle Advisory Board meeting for Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. If you could all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I've only been 65 years, I can't remember. Please have the record show that all members are in attendance. And if I could get staff introductions.
Lorna Fegley, Director of Urban Planning.
Thank you, Lorna.
Welcome back to Clark County Commissioner Jim Gibson's office and Clark County Visitor Services.
Thank you. Okay, during the meeting, if I could please have everyone turn off your cell phones, tablets, whatever you have, so we don't interrupt the speakers. When the speakers come up, we're going to ask that you please use the microphone. Make sure it's turned on. Give us your name and address for the record. We do have new and modern presentation materials now. So we've got an addition to the easel, which we ask that you place your items on facing the camera. There's also a camera that will show smaller pieces that will be placed flat, and Blanca is there to assist you with getting your presentation on the board. That way, is in the past only the board could see what's going on, now everyone can see what we're doing up here. Let's see, we have a public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. So anyone like to say anything before we get started? Seeing no one, I'll move on to the approval of the minutes for our March 28th, 2023 meeting.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes of March 28th, 2023 with no changes.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of March 28th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And approval for the agenda for April 11th, 2023?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the agenda for April 11th, 2023 as written with no changes.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this evening's agenda, April 11th, 2023. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Anything informational, Blanca? Okay, we'll move straight into planning and zoning. Item number one, UC 230120 Colick River Capital LLC, a use permit for a temporary recreational facility with accessory retail sales. Waivers of development standards for the following: one, recreational facility not within a permanently enclosed building; two, permit alternative architectural materials; three, alternative landscaping; four, alternative standards for proposed temporary signage; five, waive off site improvements; six, allow existing driveways to remain; and seven, allow non-standard improvements in the right-of-way. Design reviews for the following: a recreational facility tent and two finished grade with a fabric structure on 8.2 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment AE60 zone, generally located on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard South and the south side of Mandalay Bay Road within Paradise. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Microphone, please. And your name and address for the record.
Is it working?
Yep.
UBS George, can we come to you, Walker, 5940 South Mandalay Boulevard, 8911. Today we are requesting a special use permit for a temporary recreational facility, Magic Show, consisting of a fabric structure to be operated in 2 6-month phases, with each of those phases at different locations. Now, the temporary site, as the chair mentioned in her overview of today's agenda, will be located on the southeast corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and LaSalle and Mandalay Bay Road, directly across the street from the Mandalay Bay. Some of you may remember that site as the Skyview Las Vegas Super Bowl site, which presently there is an untidily fenced-in series of unimproved parcels, which also contain two large holes in the earth. Together with the debris, as well as the deep excavations, the site has attracted unscrupulous activities and, frankly, has been a magnet of questionable activity over the last number of years. Our application contemplates the remediation, as well as the reclamation of the land to its natural grade, construction of a temporary facility in 2 6-month phases, which I will discuss in greater detail in a moment, and an opportunity to bring elite entertainment commensurate with the strip from a world-class and world-renowned magician and illusionist, Jay Owenhouse. Very briefly, you may have seen Mr. Owenhouse as well as his family on 2 network television shows that are presently in syndication. One is considered, one is titled Master of the Illusion, as well as the second, which is Master on or Magic on the Edge. And his magic show is also a family affair where he works alongside his 4 children, John, Peter, Juliana, as well as Christina, who work both on stage as well as in the back of the house. And this will be Jay's first show and are in Las Vegas and at a site that has not seen any entertainment or hospitality activity in nearly 8 years. Now, the site comprises of separate, 7 separate but immediately adjacent parcels, which collectively is 8.2 acres. And again, as I mentioned before, there are 2 phases. Phase 1 contemplates the tense location at the 2 southern portions of the property. I'll get into the tent in just a moment. The northern side of the property would consist of the paved parking lot, as well as a paved ingress and egress off Mandalay Bay Road. And again, for your reference here, this is Las Vegas Boulevard, Mandalay Bay Resort Casino is directly across the street here, and here is Mandalay Bay Road, and there would only be 2 ingress and egresses in and out of the project site, which would be here off of Las Vegas Boulevard, as well as the corner here off Mandalay Bay. Phase 2, so after the first 6 months of Phase 1, there is contemplated in our application is a 30-day transitionary period to give us an opportunity to relocate the temporary structure as well as the parking. What I'm showing you here is Phase 2 of our site plan. You will notice that the temporary structure has been moved to, in this case, the 2 northern parcels of the 7 that are contemplated in the application. And the temporary, as well as the parking, which would be located where the tent originally was located. What will not be changing, and is crucial, is the ingress and egress off of Mandalay Bay into the project, into the show, as well as the ingress and egress off Las Vegas Boulevard. What I'd like to do is to quickly get back to Site Plan 1 to describe the fencing as well as the signage. So the plan depicts for a high-quality banner sign measuring 6 feet high with a total of 745 linear feet of colored fence wrap advertising the proposed use. And the banner would be affixed to the 6-foot-high chain-link fence that is presently on property. So there's a couple of color codes here. I'm colorblind, so if I mess up the colors, please do not feel any issue in correcting my color. And that's serious. At any rate, there is a current existing chain link fence that is surrounding the property. Everything, all of the current chain link fence will be wrapped in a black privacy screen, all of it. And on this portion of the fence, which is the ingress and egress of the site, as well as all the way along Las Vegas Boulevard, in just the western portion here of Mandalay Bay, which I believe is that the color pink? Is that pink there?
More or less.
More or less, yeah.
I'll say it's red. Okay, so the pink-red is what we propose as the fence wrap signage, which would be on the outward side facing both Las Vegas Boulevard as well as the western portion of Mandalay Bay and just this initial entrance here. There is also, in terms of an additional fencing that we will be providing, is a fencing inside the currently existing fencing surrounding the project site. You'll notice it kind of wrapping itself around the property. That too will also be including a black privacy screen as well. And you'll also notice that we will be including fencing all the way along the line of the ingress and egress of those that are accessing from Mandalay Bay Boulevard, which will also be including the black privacy screen. And here are some renditions of how that might look. This is looking as if you were across the street, looking south, southeast on Las Vegas Boulevard. And this would be phase one with a tent located at the two southern parcels, along with the wrapped banner along that fence. And again, this is obviously, that fence is currently existing. And I'll discuss that in just a moment, but part of one of the conditions we'll be asking for is the repair and the reconstruction of some of the fencing areas that is recently destroyed. And here is another picture. This is looking southwest from Mandalay Bay Road. And that would be essentially as far as that banner wrapping would extend to. If we go into site plan two, you'll notice that both the fencing as well as the signage does not move from phase to phase. Rather, what does move is the temporary structure as well as the proposed parking. I'd like to take you from the outside to the inside for a quick moment. What we are proposing here is a large membrane structure. It's specially designed and curated overseas in Europe. It's approximately 54 feet high membrane structure with a black and white swirl pattern design on the outside. And the structure as a whole is approximately 15,673 square feet. That is inclusive of the front entrance, the seating area, the stage, as well as the backstage. And as it relates to the underlying seating, one of the things that I love the most about this project is the cabaret style seating, as opposed to something that you might find of a more stadium environment, stadium seating. Mr. Owenhaus was really emphasized the family environment and the proximity, and really just having an environment that was consistent with the show by having this cabaret style seating. What we are proposing here in our site plan are approximately 78 tables with four persons with four chairs per table. It's approximately 312 seats. We have requested in the application for additional seating for 12 additional tables. So times four for each of those chairs would bring us up to a maximum of 360 seats in the underlying structure. We have been working very, very closely with our colleagues over at the MGM across the street, who have been an absolute pleasure to work with over the last year. And they have made a series of requests for certain conditions of approval on our application, to which we have agreed to all of them. And while many of them are included in the site plan and some others are included in the conditions of approval, with your indulgence and really just for the avoidance of doubt, I'd like to just take a moment to read all of those conditions into the record and to ensure that should you vote for approval on today's application, that your vote for approval would be conditioned on these conditions of approval that I'd like to read into the record with your indulgence.
Excuse me one minute. Maureen, do you have the printout of that so you don't have to try to write these all down?
No, but he's
Blanca's gonna he's going to get it. Okay. I've got them. I just want to make sure you don't try to write all of this.
No, I got her ready.
Okay.
I got her ready, okay. So she knows.
Thank you.
She can see the list this evening. Excellent. So I'll begin. The temporary membrane structure not to exceed 15,673 square feet and 360 attendee seats per our plans on file. Next, for us to fill the entire excavated site area and grade property to even contour. Next, for the site to be cleared of all trash, debris, broken equipment, and dead landscaping, including but not limited to our restoring of some of the dead vegetation that you've seen there, as well as the installation of a certain turf. Security to be provided on site 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. For vehicle and pedestrian access for magic show patrons, limited to only the two existing paved entrances with access drives, One at Las Vegas Boulevard and one at Mandalay Bay Road is denoted in our site plans. Both here and here. Access Drive connecting to the north parking area to be paved by Mandalay, to Mandalay Bay Road access. Currently, this is unimproved. Part of their request is that we build out a paved road access for the ingress and egress. And that, again, is denoted for our plans. Next, the interior fencing that is currently in place there and surrounding the property today, for it to be repaired or replaced and installed per the attached fence plan, or as indicated in our site plan, and also to include a 6-foot high fence with black privacy screen along the north side facing Mandalay Bay. We've actually exceeded this condition, but I'm still reading it into the record. All of the fencing, we are putting black screening around all of that fencing. Just three more. Zoning inspection required to conform compliance with conditions prior to issuance and certificate of occupancy or equivalent certification commencement of use. And any approval of this application be strictly limited to the final plans on file and for use by Owen House's Magic Show only. And lastly, any approval of this application to be strictly limited to a period of 13 months from the date of issuance of the COO or equivalent certification. And again, for the avoidance of doubt, the reason we're requesting 13 months is in order to give us a 30-day period between to transition between phases 1 and 2. And there's one last remark that I'd like to make. On the second to last page of the staff report, you will notice there are certain conditions of approval that were requested by Public Works Development Review. The very first condition that you see there, that bullet point, references the future right-of-way dedication up to 43 feet, which is something that's typical on South Boulevard, Las Vegas Boulevard South. I spoke earlier today with the deputy Robert Rojola, who asked me to read into the record that his office, alongside with planning, are currently crafting language to amend that condition of approval to read something along the lines of this. But to be clear, this is not the language proposed by Robert. This was just a general discussion to clarify that the right-of-way dedication would occur within 30 days after the last show to provide the applicant time to A, remove the signage, B, to relocate the current existing fence that is outside of to relocate the current existing fence back into the property so it would be located outside of the 43 feet of right-of-way. And lastly, to remove any and all improvements, if any, that might be included within that future right-of-way dedication. Staff is recommending approval, and with that, I'd like to submit for your vote and any questions that you might have. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. So I was given the conditions from MGM Grand just a little while before the meeting started, and there were two of them I didn't hear go by, which was the dust control plan to be submitted to the county agencies for the unpaid site. And the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week security to be provided.
He mentioned that earlier.
Did you mention that? Yeah. Okay.
I think you are right about the dust control. So the dust control plan to be submitted and approved by county agencies for a portion of the site to remain unpaved and or without asphalt. That would naturally be included anyways in our design review and our permit for the reclamation of the land, but to specify, that's also an additional condition.
Okay.
A comprehensive plan had 18 months for review as a public hearing.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You had 18 months for review as a public hearing under comprehensive planning. You talked about 13 months once the building permit. There's also each day should not be in operation for more than 6 months. Under comprehensive planning, just above public works.
Under the staff conditions.
I believe, I don't know if there's somebody from staff. Okay. Yeah.
You talked to me, never met. So, our concern is the timing to get permits and things like that. We just want to make sure that if it does go longer or whatever, that
So if it goes, takes longer than 18 months to get his permits, he comes back here before he can start anyway. Okay.
Or if it's going to take more than 6 months on each phase. Would that be...
I don't know if you went through this or not. I have to hear something else at the same time. But because of the way their building permits are going to work, each phase cannot be up for more than 6 months.
Okay.
So that's why the MGM condition is that it's 13 months once they start. They have 6 months for the first phase, 1 month to get a breakup, reconstruct in the second phase. So no matter what, they're only there for 13 months. But we just wanted to make sure there was enough time. With the 18 months, less than the 2 years, permits, everything else, that we didn't expect it to take this long for them to move into this case. So.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
My concern is this, oh God, this is so bad, the spacing between the two fences. It looks like you have a fence and then there's blank space and then fence.
You mean between the currently existing fence as well as the fence that's surrounding the
yes.
Property? Yeah, that's approximately 43 feet.
Oh, okay.
So that, yeah, it's okay. So the current existing fence is right along the side of the public right-of-way, that little sidewalk there. What we're proposing, the additional fence, is actually right inside that 43 feet of the right-of-way, the privacy screen.
Okay, and you have security going through there because that makes a perfect little encampment area, of which also just trash because we're windy would end up in there.
Correct, yeah, and that's a big part of why we need to have that condition, that 24-hour security 7 days a week, and that's something that's really important for us as well.
And your tent will have air conditioning? I know it's a dumb question, but since it's in from Europe, Europe doesn't have air conditioning.
Actually, I'm from Greece, I get it. I get it. That's actually a really great question, and interestingly enough, we've even discussed, even though it's not even part of us because it falls under a separate code, we've even discussed within the moonlit shadow, dripping down certain curtains, kind of making the environment just a little tighter, and creating a barrier between the outer membrane of the tent, as well as where the occupants are, and that insulation. We've actually submitted that to an engineer, and the R valuation associated with that insulation would even be something sufficient that you might otherwise find in a permanent structure. So we have thought about that, and we are considering it as well.
Okay, just because 12 months you're going to hit the 110 degree right. Summer with a black top tent, it's not going to go well.
And as staff, we made sure that the locations that they discussed are going to be screened completely.
Okay.
So that's accomplished by there's like screening to the left.
Yeah, I just don't want anyone to overheat in those tents because I've been in a tent during a concert and it's rough.
On your landscaping, the original application you wanted to waive landscaping, but in the MGM conditions they wanted you to replace what was there. Could you just show what you would replace? What areas they are?
It's facing, I don't believe I have the photos here, it would be facing out on Las Vegas Boulevard. May not have problems with the points of face there, I apologize. But it's the components of the vegetation that would be more facing on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay, so is that trees or shrubs? Do you know?
Yeah, it's. Well, I was lost. I didn't go to school for any trees. Whether it was a tree or a bush, my name is termed. It looked like trees to me. Okay. I have no idea. So I have no idea.
Because before I knew about the MGM conditions, the note I had put is if you just at least had some planters with some greenery just to, because there's a lot of dirt on that site next to you.
Correct. So this is where it's about last summer, our team met with both planning department as well as the business department, and this exact discussion came up about landscaping, non-landscaping, and how that fits in. Because this is temporary in nature and the provisions of the code that relate to landscaping are something that we are accustomed to that are more permanent, large box trees, underwater drip machines. But because of our reclaiming the land, replacing the trees that may otherwise be dead, and putting down artificial turf in order to beautify the area, it was a recommendation that doesn't fall into a more formal application for a landscaping.
So you will have some artificial turf around the tent itself?
Correct.
It's not just walking up into dirt?
Correct.
Okay, that's why I'm concerned.
Do you have anything?
Nope. You want to go for it, John?
Well,
you want me to do it?
If no one has any other comments, I can motion for a third subject to the preliminary staff conditions.
And if we could just add with the addition of
the
MGM conditions.
MGM conditions.
All right, we have a motion on the floor to approve this application. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. And make sure she gets them. All right, item number 2 and 3, if the applicant's okay, I'd like to read those together. Do we have an applicant? Is that good? All right. Item number 2, VS230103, VT1 LLC and Sierra Ridge Storage LLC vacate and abandon a portion of right-of-way being Backstage Boulevard, located between Desert Inn Road and Raymert Drive, and a portion of right-of-way being Raymert Drive, located between Backstage Boulevard and US 95 within Paradise. And item number 3, UC230102 VT1 LLC and Sierra Ridge Storage LLC, a use permit for a mini warehouse facility, waivers development standards for the following: 1, increase wall height; 2, allow access to a local street; 3, allow non-standard improvements in the right-of-way; and 4, reduce driveway distances from the intersection. A design review for a proposed mini warehouse facility on 1.5 acres in a C1 local business zone, generally located on the west side of Backstage Boulevard and the south side of Desert Inn Road within Paradise.
Good evening. Lucy Stewart, STEWART, at 1930 Villard Center Circle, representing the applicant, and with me in the audience is actually, I have the owner builder and the architect and the engineer, so if you have any questions that I can answer, there's plenty of people here. The first item read into the record was the vacation and abandonment, and the property is surrounded by sidewalks along the streets, and the county now requires detached sidewalks, so we're providing a detached sidewalk. So what happens is they you vacate part of the right-of-way. Need a little bit of a back, so we have a 15-foot landscaping around the property with a meandering sidewalk and a detached sidewalk along this part. So with that, that's the first item. Staff's recommending approval, and we agree with all the if approved conditions. The next is, of course, this is a three-story, 35-foot tall mini warehouse project. It's contemporary in style. We're asking for some waivers. One is to increase the wall height, and that's to allow it to be 8 feet to provide for some security, because of course, as you know, self-storage mini warehouses are secure, they're behind a gate, so people can't get into it unless you belong there. The other one is for access to the local street. That's to provide it down in this part on Raymer. Below us is commercial. It would be too close to the intersection up here on Desert Inn, and it'd be across from residential here. So really the best way for the design is to bring it on here. Because traffic is so minimal on mini warehouses, staff has no objection to it. The other one is non-standard improvements in the right-of-way, and that's a result of, as you can see, the property line here. There'd be like an excess just sort of dead area, so we wanted just to landscape and make it look nicer at the intersection. And then lastly is to allow to reduce the driveway distance from the intersection, and that's here. And again, staff recommends approval because we've pushed it as far away as we can on the site. So with that, we're asking for a three-story, 35-foot tall, it's 860 units. They're 25 square feet to 300 square feet in size. The hours of operation, we do have an office and we have parking outside in the open area. There's a gate to make it secure back there. So the hours that someone will be in the office and you can walk in and rent the space is 9 to 6, but gate access allows you to be in 6 to 9. So there's no nighttime traffic. Again, it's a very quiet project. I'll show you what the agency is. A contemporary, but I think very attractive looking building. I think it'll fit in nicely with the neighborhood. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item?
Yes.
Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public, open it to the board. I have one quick question for you. Staff. Under the staff conditions, it says work with Las Vegas Metro for the installation of security cameras and surveillance operations. I've never seen that before. We've approved a lot of public storage places before.
Yeah. It's probably only a condition for you. This is a condition we've been doing for many, many years on some of our northern and eastern town board areas. This system is already in place to work with the metro area command centers. A lot of our regular consultants that we work with are very familiar with this. This is a way so that Metro is able to see the video if something were to happen on the site. So they'll work together with that camera system, and then if it's ever needed, there's a way to provide it.
Is that an issue for you?
Sure, and I think it's not just our site, but it's also sort of the surrounding area. So it's sort of to provide safety for us and for the surrounding area.
As long as you don't feel it's unreasonable condition. I think that's a great project for that area. I don't know what else you would do with that little piece of land. And it's beautiful. That's a really, it's one of the nicest ones I've seen.
The architects love hearing that.
So I live on the other side of 95, and past George and Harris. This is not a real good area, crime-wise. But it's going to be a great addition, because it's going to fill up that piece of property. Is that building going to go from, that's Desert Inn right there. So is it going straight back through to Raymer?
Yes, you can see this is Desert Inn, apparently north, and then it comes
right
down. So it'll really, that'll be the...
Because I recognize the tire place. I have a thing for tire.
I know. Failure. Anyone else have any?
Is there a question?
So it's going to go straight back to Raymer from there,
yes,
on that
and then the
one piece of property?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think that would be a great addition. I don't have a problem with it. I'm glad to see something finally going in it.
I agree with them that it's a good spot, but I have a question about the color. Because I have one by my home that is three-story. And it's a couple acres away, but because it's bright orange, my neighbors that are a little closest to it, and I know we don't have any public here, do we have any, who do I ask for posting? Did anybody send any cards in? Was there anything?
We don't have that information because notices are only sent out.
Okay. So my concern is the color. And on the back of the building, I don't mind the front, but what is the back of the building adjacent to the homeowners that's going to look in their backyard and see that?
First of all, I don't want you to think that transition.
It's
far more muted.
Okay, it's a little older, not so old yellow.
It's an event.
Yeah, because only have neon orange.
Our camera's
still on. It's a little more subtle. Okay.
The camera does make it much brighter.
Architects, 1150, Thompson Drive, architect for the project.
I wouldn't think it could hardly clash with that junkyard in the county.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
On the other side of it. So whatever you did, you did improvement over that. On the other side. I had fought that for a while, and you can't get code enforcement or anybody to do anything about it. Why? I have no idea, but it was literally a junkyard. So hopefully maybe they'll start.
We don't have restrictions on
impact.
There's no more restrictions on vivid colors in town. All right. If no one else has anything, I'd make a motion to approve items number 2 and 3, subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice seeing you again.
Nice seeing you too.
When do you think that, just real quick question, when do you think it'll get built? And
we're already drawing up. We anticipate we'd like it so quickly.
Yesterday, they
shout out to the Warren County for taking any plans in right now for the next few months. So it's going to be a little bit of a delay.
Okay.
As fast as we can.
Item number 4, VS230100, Colex Polaris FF399 LLC, vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County, located between Polaris Avenue and Procyon Street and between Desert Inn Road and Spring Mountain Road within Paradise. Hello.
Good evening. Liz Olson, is this not working?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
This is also 1980 Festival Plaza Drive here on behalf of the applicant. This is a 5-acre piece of property that you guys saw last year. It was approved for multifamily development on DI and Polaris. We are now coming in just as a cleanup item to vacate the pad easements in between the parcels and around the site. So staff's recommending approval and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public, open it to the board.
Madam Chair, if no board member has any comments or questions, I move to approve subject to staff's preliminary conditions.
We have a motion to approve subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. You go on to, where do you go?
Planning Commission.
Planning Commission on 5-2.
Thanks.
Okay. Items 6, 7, and 8. Can I combine them? I'm on 5, sorry. Never mind. Well, when we get to 6, 7, and 8. Item number 5, WS230116, Cohen, Sheldon, and Soto, Angela. Waiver of development standards for the following. 1, allow proposed single-family residential lots to have direct access to an arterial street, Pebble Road, and 2, allow individual single-family residential lots to not have circular driveways, on-site turnarounds on 1.1 acres in an RE rural estate residential zone, generally located on the north side of Pebble Road, 130 feet west of Spencer Street within Paradise. Name and address, please.
Sheldon Coleman, 2525 West Horizon Ridge. What we're proposing here is to eliminate the need for the two circular drives, one on each site. So we propose this to Public Works and Planning. And of course, it doesn't go within the development code, but this was a recommendation by Public Works on a good way to get the turnaround into this development without having four different accesses on the middle road. That was the point of this. And their main concern was what happens in the future if one lot owner doesn't allow the other one. And we don't see that as being a possibility, but this was what we felt was a really good alternative for that.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. You know, when I read this, because I manage the office building on Pebble and Eastern, where LVAC is, and I thought, he's crazy if he's going to try to get cars out onto the road, because they fly down there. Wouldn't you just have to make your circular drive an easement between the two to not worry about that?
Yeah. There's more than a one way to skin that path.
That makes sense compared to what it sounds like in the
writing. I don't imagine, you know, maybe 30 years from now, and I'm no longer around, hopefully 30 years, that might be an issue, but right now, it's not.
Anything? Anybody? Make a motion, Don.
Make a motion to approve subject to preliminary staff conditions.
If approved. Okay, we have a motion to approve this item subject to the if approved staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Good luck. Okay, now can we do 6, 7, and 8? All right, it's a lot of reading. Item number 6, WC2340021, ZC214404. Fusion Group Nevada LLC, waiver of conditions of a zone change requiring landscape plans on file for 0.9 acres in an MD design manufacturing 8060 zone generally located on the south side of Helm Drive, 530 feet east of Spencer Street within Paradise. Item number 7, VS230096, Fusion Group Nevada LLC, vacated and abandoned easements of interest to Clark County located between Helm Drive and Palma Lane and between Spencer Street and Surrey Street, and a portion of right-of-way being Helm Drive located between Spencer Street and Surrey Street within Paradise. And item number 8, DR230095, Fusion Group Nevada LLC, design reviews for the following: 1, an office warehouse building, and 2 finished grade on 0.9 acres in the MD Design Manufacturing AE60 zone, generally located on the south side of Elm Drive, 530 feet east of Spencer Street within Paradise.
Good evening. Sheldon Coleman, 2525 West Horizon Ridge, representing the applicant. The project in front of you is for a approximately 13,500 square foot warehouse. It'll have mostly single story. The front will have offices with the second floor above it. And previously on this site, we had an approved building that had it moved all the way to the west property line. So with this development, it allows a little bit better access around the building. And also there's an elevation. If you're familiar with this area, it's not uncommon for this area. It's not in the middle of residences. It's in the middle of a bunch of other warehouses. So I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on these items? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board. Anyone? Make a motion?
No. Madam Chair,
yeah,
if anyone has any comments, questions, or concerns, I make a motion to approve all three items subject to staff preliminary conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve items 6, 7, and 8 subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank
so you go to BCC on 5-3 for 6, 7, and 8 and Planning Commission on 5-2 for item 5. It's Tony.
Hello.
Item number 9, UC-230126, HCI, Sabaris 160 East Flamingo Hotel Owner LP et al., a use permit for a monorail, design review for a monorail on approximately 302 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone, an M1 light manufacturing zone, an H1 limited resort and apartment, AE60, AE65, and AE70 zone, an R2 manufactured home residential zone, an R4 multiple family residential high density, AE60 and AE65 zone, a PF public facility, AE65 and AE70 zone, a C1 local business, AE70 zone, and a C2 general commercial, AE65 zone, within the Midtown Maryland Parkway Overlay District, generally located between Sahara Avenue and Blue Diamond Road and between Maryland Parkway and Decatur Boulevard within Winchester, Paradise, and Enterprise.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Town Board members. My name is Tony Celeste, address 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant, the Boring Company. Along with me in the audience is Eileen Moore with the Boring Company, and I will turn it over to Tyler Fairbanks for the heavy lift, who is also with the Boring Company, to go over the details of the next portion of the loop here.
Awesome. Thanks, Tony. As Tony mentioned, I'm Tyler Fairbanks with the Boring Company. We are building Vegas Loop. Initially, Vegas Loop was entitled for 35 miles of tunnel and 55 stations throughout Las Vegas. It's a subsurface transportation system, high-capacity express transportation system. We're here on this agenda item to expand that system an additional 30 miles of tunnel and an additional 14 stations so that it will total 65 miles of tunnel and 69 stations. The advantage of our system is that as we add stations, we simply make the system more useful because our system is express, like I mentioned, where you board at your origin station and you go directly to your destination. You don't stop at all the stops along the way as you would on a typical metro system. So if you were to add significantly more stations to a metro system, you're bogging that system down by adding more stops along the way. Our system functions like an underground highway, so you're going directly from where you board to where you ultimately want to go, which is why we're proposing something like this to add additional stops to, like I said, simply make the system more useful. Just a quick update on what the Boring Company is doing currently. We currently have 5 stations built and operating here in Las Vegas, 4 at the Convention Center, 1 at Resorts World. We have 2.2 miles of tunnel currently operating. 2 weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago, we moved our millionth passenger throughout the Convention Center and Resorts World system, so that was a huge milestone for the company. And then in terms of active construction, we are currently tunneling from the Convention Center over to Westgate, and we, on April 23rd, will begin tunneling from the Convention Center over to Encore, and we're excited about all future projects. So with that, I will turn it back over to the board or to the public for any comments.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to make a comment? Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Ed Ewing. When this was first presented to the Convention Center several years ago, when they won the bid to do the Convention Center, they had a very elaborate TV show of what was supposed to happen, a video of what was supposed to happen. Is the system you're describing, is it going to be on rails? Is it going to be electrified, or is it going to be individual cars somehow going?
You haven't gone yet.
it will be individual cars, exactly what we built for the Convention Center so far and exactly what we're currently operating. I think what we've proven from the system that we are currently operating is that the transportation system that we've built works, and so we want to expand it to the rest of Las Vegas.
The one that you had presented to the Convention Center at the press conference, I don't know, 5 years ago, it allowed the cars to go very quickly, but the system that exists now, they just go. They're very slow and boring, and not the incredible system that was described. Or I wish the people here could see that film that you did, or the video that you did there. So. How will it work?
So if
it goes as slow as the one.
So the speed of the system is based on how close stations are. So with the Convention Center system, because you're only ever going a total of 0.8 mile stretch in one direction at a time, you don't need to be going at speeds faster than the 40 miles an hour, which is the limit in the Convention Center system. As we expand and the runs of tunnel are longer, we'll increase that speed. But to get around quickly through Las Vegas in an express system, you don't need to go much more than 40 miles an hour in order to get places very, very quickly.
I would also add that we do get customer service scores from the million riders that have already taken the system, and we scored a 4.9 out of 5. And we don't do those surveys, the Convention Center does those for all the conventioners.
Name and address.
I'm Lee Moore with the Boring Company, 3395 Cambridge.
Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to speak? Seeing no one, I'll close the public and open it to the board.
Okay, well, I don't know if it's slow and boring, but I didn't find it very boring when I wrote it, and I think that was the Convention Center over to World Resort. I think it's great. I'm a big fan of it. I don't need to see the film. I've been on it.
What's the end point at Blue Diamond? What is that going to be? Is that for the stadium?
Correct. Yep, that's down at the intersection of Blue Diamond and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Do we know how long, far that is from the stadium itself? Have you ever thought about going straight to the stadium?
Which stadium?
You're talking about
that there, yeah.
You're talking about what is that?
What is the point of interest to go to Blue Diamond? Would be the going to the stadium, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree. I think it's a great.
Did you go on that right?
I went on that right. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Especially since no one knows it's happening until it's open.
Well, I'm really excited about it because I was able to do the research when I was at UNLV and the direction for the topics that came up at UNLV and signing the CM conference, so that gives my little bit of experience for that. and put me around the ship and ships. Maybe when we're going to Victorville.
The only thing they need is need to come up with a new use name for you. You're not really a monorail.
We got that.
Yeah,
we got
that. If no one has anything else, I'd like to make a motion to approve subject to staff's conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. On to VBC on 5-3.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Run all over. Take it everywhere.
Item number 10, UC230128-5051-SLV-LLC. Use permits for the following. One, primary means of access to accessory use. A day club pool from the exterior of the resort. And two, deviations from development standards. Deviations for the following. One, reduced setback. And two, all other deviations as shown per plans on file. Waivers of development standards for the following. One, reduce the setback for a freestanding sign. And two, allow non-standard improvements within the right-of-way. Design reviews for the following. One, modifications to a previously approved resort hotel. Two, a comprehensive sign package. And three, site lighting on 4.9 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment AE65 zone, generally located on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard South, 500 feet south of Russell, alignment within Paradise.
Good evening again, Madam Chair, Town Board members. My name is Tony Celeste, address 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant and developer, the Dream Hotel. Along with me is Mark Moyne, who is with McCarthy Construction, Bill Smith with Dream Hotel, and Mitch with Yesco, to hopefully answer any questions related to the various aspects of our application. First, let me just orient you with the site, give you a little bit of background, and then I'll dive into the application itself. The site is about 5 acres, located right here at 5051 South Las Vegas Boulevard, basically across the street from the golf course, catty corner from Mandalay Bay. It received its entitlements for a resort hotel and expansion of the Gaming Enterprise District from the Board of County Commissioners in October of 2021. As part of that approval, we have over 500 rooms, about 29,000 square feet of casino space, all of the other ancillary uses that you would have with that, including a pool, day club, nightclubs, the food and beverage, etc., those type of uses. We, as you can see from this aerial right here, construction has commenced. The basement level is done and in. You can see the concrete level now of the first floor going in with some of the pillars rising up to support the elevator structures. So we are full blown going into construction and commenced. This application is coming back as part of it is a requirement of our original entitlements back in October 2021 specifically. We had a list of conditions, about 19 conditions, very specific things we had to do and accomplish. One of those is the siding and lighting package, which is part of the application before you. And then we have two other components that we've added to that, one being a special use permit to have direct access to our day club, other than through the casino floor. And then the third one is a sports court that we'd like to provide. So first, let me address the special use permit for the day club entrance. We appreciate staff's recommendation of approval on that. Right in this area right here is our pool, which will be located on the third deck. Right now, access to it is interior. We would like to have a secondary access. This is, as you come into the site, our porte-cochere right here, to have an elevator and direct access from the porte-cochere entryway to the day club entry. We think that that will help actually alleviate a lot of internal conflict with the casino and have a secondary access to the pool area. So we appreciate staff's recommendation of approval on that. The second portion of the application is with respect to our sports court. It is located in this area highlighted in yellow. It is about the size of a basketball court that we're proposing. It would be within the future right-of-way in the landscape area. It would just be mostly just
part of the landscape area. It would only be on special events that we would utilize the sports court area. One of the things we failed to mention, I think, in the application process is that it is temporary in nature, so we would agree to a condition that anytime we came in for some type of special event that we would pull a separate temporary commercial event permit. There's conditions of approval in there requiring that there could be conditions that be barricaded or fenced or rail fencing, things along those lines. But day-to-day traffic, we would not have any type of fencing on there to keep the free flow of traffic and the landscaping in that area. So we would ask if you are willing to consider the sports court that it would be with the condition that we also have to obtain a temporary permit every time we come in for some type of event. That way the county knows and the appropriate safeguards can be placed in at that time. The next major portion of our application is with respect to our signage plan and lighting plan. We worked a lot with the Department of Aviation. We worked for almost 2 years with the Department of Aviation and the airport on the design of this site. Just a little history when we first kind of laid out this project and the original entitlement request to what was ultimately approved is a lot different. We've done a lot of security work in the back with the design of the garage, the walls, etc. And continuing that work with the Department of Aviation, we spent a few months prior to the submittal of this lighting and signage package, sitting down with them, going over the specifics of our proposed signage and proposed lighting. And what I'm about to show you in a minute is everything that the Department of Aviation did review. As you can see from their letter, they found that our proposed signage and lighting package was acceptable and that basically they do support us moving forward with this. Obviously, it is conditioned upon ultimately the County Commission recommendation. But nonetheless, I do think this is a very important document, a letter from Aviation showing essentially their concurrence with the design of our plan and no objection at all to what I'm about to show you. So first, let me just show you the overall site plan, the location of the signage is on the property. North is actually, or I know north is up, you can see this is Las Vegas Boulevard to our west here. Airport would be farther to the east right here. This right here is Las Vegas Boulevard coming in off our site right here. This would be our pipeline sign location right here, and I'll show you some elevations of it. We would also have basically an archway that comes in over here with some directional signage coming into the site. You can see we will have various building signage throughout. We are on the back side of our garage, instead of having just a blank wall there, proposing to do some canvas work and lighting on the back side of this. But this gives you an idea of all the signage, where it is located. Generally speaking, staff is supportive of the signage request, with the exception of four items, which I'll get into specifically. The first is with respect to the height of our proposed pylon sign. We are proposing a 165-foot pylon sign. I think what's important is that generally you come in, get an entitlement, go to the FAA, and seek to get a height conference of the height. We have already gone to FAA. FAA has approved our height at 165 feet. See right here is the proposed pylon sign at the just shy of, I guess, 166 feet that we're proposing. That'll be on the entryway into the site, on the south portion of the site. We think that the height is appropriate. In the staff report, they reference signage that is actually not resort hotels. They reference the pinball signage height. They reference the Harley-Davidson Davidson signage height, and Town Square signage height, which, interesting, all those signs are actually taller than their main structure. So those signs range anywhere from 66 to 74 feet in height. And again, those signs are taller than their structure. Our building is 220 feet in height. Our sign is 165 feet. I think rather the appropriate comparison is to other resort hotels. We are a resort hotel along Las Vegas Boulevard in the gaming corridor, also in the gaming enterprise district, and we think that is the fair comparison. So right here, just to give you an idea of signage in the area of Las Vegas Boulevard, right here is our proposed sign, 165 feet. You can see this ranges from just kind of a rough, just pulling just random signs along Las Vegas Boulevard in the gaming corridor district from the Tropicana at 34 feet all the way up to Aria at 260 feet. So we are right in the middle of, we're pretty much an average size sign in height. We're probably even a little bit smaller in scope of, as far as total square footage. So we do think our proposed signage pylons height is appropriate for Las Vegas Boulevard, appropriate with compared to other resort hotels, appropriate for signage in the gaming enterprise district. So we do respectfully request your approval for the proposed height of just shy of 166 feet. And then the second point, or second, I guess, concern staff had was with respect to the back channeling of our letters that we're going to have on the garage there. See, in this area right here, so right now, this is the backside of our garage. As I mentioned, we went through a lot of work with the airport on the design of this garage, the design of the walls, just should there be a bad actor, what happens, and the basically reinforcement that we're doing in this wall. So the airport really wanted us to make sure that this was kind of, the wall was designed this way. With that being said, though, they also, I don't think, just want to have a blank wall back there, some type of design. So we did work with them on this, specifically this design. One of the things that I think is very important to point out, something we agreed to and something that is actually mentioned in the staff report, is that all of our signage is dimmable. We have a direct working relationship with the airport. The airport will be able to tell us if it's too bright that we can dim it. And so we absolutely agree that this will be dimmable. We agreed to that. There was a statement in the staff report basically saying it was dimmable. I don't know that they would still support it, but that if it was to be approved, that it needs to be dimmable in nature. And we absolutely agree to that. More importantly, all of our signage from that dusk to dawn will have the ability to be dimmable. So not just this sign, but our pylon sign, our building signage, our hanging signs, directional signage, everything will be on that system. So that is this sign right here that was in question. The third, those are, and the third one was our, we have four signs that are in the future right-of-way. They are located, so right, this right here is the future step, future property line. And then this portion right here is the future right-of-way. It's still not built out fully at Las Vegas Boulevard. And this portion right here is the existing right-of-way that we know we drive up and down Las Vegas Boulevard. So this portion right here, we have four proposed signs. Three of the signs right here, here, and so where's the other one? We have these two. We just have three signs, I'm sorry. So these two, really, two of the signs are for safety signs. We need to put stop signs or right turn only arrows. When we were coordinating with on our civil improvement plans for this, we asked that we be able to design the signage there instead of putting a county-approved sign, having signage that would basically be more compatible to the design of our building. And look, there is no, what is important about this though,
There is no advertising on the site. It doesn't say Dream anywhere. It doesn't have any of the hotel logo at all. All it is directional signage. It is for safety. If this sign doesn't go here, we believe Public Works will have us install one of just a county type of sign. So that's all this signage is here. We think it is aesthetically pleasing. It is for safety purposes. So it is completely, can be removed at such time the future right-of-way is needed and developed. We agree to that condition that it will be removed. Most importantly though, all of our signs that, like the pylon sign and other advertising signs, are on our property, and the planning staff does recommend approval of that, with the exception of the back sign that's on the garage there. So with that, we agree with all the conditions of approval, and more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. Well, Tony, this is the first time we've ever seen staff not say okay to any sign you guys bring in.
I was a little embarrassed.
I read this and I was like, oh my God, how bad is this sign? I commend your exhibit showing the different signs. That totally changed my mind, because when you first say 165, that sounds like a lot till you see what the other ones are. So I thought that was very helpful. The other question I had was on the temporary placing a sign in the future right of way. Wouldn't you be required to move the sign when they take that?
Absolutely, we agree to that condition. Okay. That it has to be removed.
Has to be
such
removed
time.
This, because it seems to me anything that we put in a right of way once they took it, you would be responsible for moving it, not the county.
100% correct, and we agree. We agree to that condition. Absolutely.
Okay. That's all I had. Anybody else?
No, I was fine when it showed up. That was the first question I had when you started talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I hope you've got some examples. Well, that would be the most appropriate way, I think, to look at the sign, is what
right.
The other resorts are doing. And if the FAA doesn't have any problem with it, kind of see the issue.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion then. Do you have anything? Okay. And include some of the comments Tony made in the if approved condition. So I'll make a motion to approve. Based on the preliminary staff, if approved condition, adding in a clarification that anything built in the future right-of-way would be removed at the applicant's cost at that time necessary. And what was the other thing you said to me?
Make it dimmable.
Oh, yes, there it is. That the sign would be dimmable at the request of the airport. All other than that, all in favor?
Aye.
Sorry. Is that the first bullet point in the approved conditions? So the sign shall not be
more than right. Shall also be dimmable.
Okay. It's the same thing.
And so, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Welcome.
Okay, we'll
Board of County Commissioners on the 3rd of
There you go. Okay, items 11 and 12. Can I combine those? All right. Item number 11, ZC230118, Bell Real Estate LLC, a zone change to reclassify 2.4 acres from an RE Rural Estates Residential Zone to a CP Office and Professional Zone. Waivers of development standards for the following: one, allow an attached sidewalk along Rawhide Street, and two, increase wall height. Design reviews for the following: one, an office building, two, EV charging stations under a canopy, and three, alternative parking lot landscaping generally located on the north side of Russell Road and the east side of Tamara Street within Paradise. Item number 12, VS230119, Bell Real Estate LLC, vacating abandoned easements of interest to Clark County located between Russell Road and Rawhide Street and between Tamara Street and Caliente Street and a portion of a right-of-way being Tamara Street located between Russell Road and Rawhide Street within Paradise.
Just try it.
Lina Christofferson, 2885 East Quail Avenue, here representing the applicant. What we have before you is a site for drivers to stage to go to the airport. As the airport expands, they've been eliminating these areas, and it is a need for transportation. We're going to provide EV charging stations also along the right-of-way for Russell Road as there is a demand for them, but there will be EV charging stations for the fleet vehicles underneath the canopy. We have a 4,000 square foot office building which will allow the drivers to stage for their pickup and then go pick them up at the airport. One of the conditions that was set with the commissioner was that there was no overnight parking for fleet vehicles. This is for operations during flights only, so there will be no overnight parking for fleet vehicles. We have 15 feet of landscaping along Russell Road, 15 feet of landscaping along Rawhide, and 15 feet of landscaping along the adjacent Paradise Villas. We have met with the association and we have worked out to continue to provide the fire access from their gate there that's off of Tamaris, and also complete the wall so that people coming from Russell can't come through and then onto Rawhide, which is a problem currently. We have 6 feet of landscaping along the mosque, and then working with traffic staff, you know, there's going to be a left-hand turn into the project. That is the that's why this east entrance is needed, because that's the closest that we could get. We pushed it as far west as we can to keep it away from the entrance to the mosque, but that's as far west as we can go to provide the stacking that's needed in that left-hand turn. And then again, we pushed the entrance, the west entrance, as far west as we could. It's basically 190 feet from that other entrance. So we believe that that satisfies that distance requirement for ingress, egress through the site. There are two waivers. One was the sidewalk along Rawhide. The existing sidewalks along Rawhide are all attached, so we're just matching that. And Lauren has been very patient with me, but I probably should have put in there that the compensating benefit for not doing that is we are putting 15 feet of landscaping along Rawhide instead of the 6 feet that the code requires.
That should have changed during the process. Oh. So 15 feet is required behind the rear, an attached sidewalk is the change.
Okay. So, my apologies. So, but we believe that it still matches the neighborhood, and the 15 feet of landscaping will. I do have a reader here for you to kind of show you what that will look like. So this is a view as you're driving down Rawhide. Other than that, I'm here to answer any questions you have.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board. You mentioned you had charging stations at the front. Was that for the public when you were saying that, or?
Yes, they would be open to the public.
That's the only concern I have in terms of bringing more traffic there than you really need. Is that an income stream or just a courtesy?
That was a courtesy that was requested by the commission.
Oh. To me, that's just like adding people onto your site you don't need because you already have plenty of traffic with your vehicles going in and out. And now you're adding some extra people there. But
it's also asking for overnight parking.
Exactly. Exactly. Which, what do you do if someone pulls in and parks it and walks on to their condo and leaves it there overnight? You haul them out of there?
Well, again, because they will be open to the public, but they won't, as far as then, they do will have security inside the building, so.
But you won't have security on your site itself because you have to leave the gate open for the public?
Again, that could be a condition if you want that those EV stations be restricted during the night.
I think that's
to me invites people.
My dad's car takes 8 hours to charge, and if there was a free one that I could, well, even if it's not free, but one I could park and walk home to, it's what you do.
At this site, it would be quite a bit of a walk because they're blocking all access to Rawhide, so they would have to go down. I mean, it would be probably close to half a mile away. It'd be a walk.
Yeah, because we are proposing that 8-inch, or sorry, that 8-foot wall.
8 foot all the way around.
To keep them, because there is a problem with the site right now that the neighbors are complaining about. That's why we raised
right.
the wall to 8 feet, was for security. So it really, it will be 8 feet all the way around to prevent access there.
I understand the need for them, but they just put up on the corner on Russell and Eastern. There's a whole new bank of them in front of the Lowe's. So it's not like the area doesn't have any. It's just like, I don't know. I think it's very gracious of you to say, sure, I'll invite the public onto my lot. But I wouldn't do it. John, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, if somebody left their car there and wanted to walk, one issue is half a mile. The other one is that they could post signage and legally tow them out of there. They left the car there.
Yeah.
As long as they post it according to statute.
Tesla owners have stuff. Okay, well, that's the only thing I had was why you would invite the public onto the site. Seemed odd to me. The access in and out, I don't agree with staff's comment. I could see, because you're going to have two driveways, correct?
Correct.
You could do one in and one out easily.
Well, and we did extend the throw gaps
mm-hmm.
to prevent any left-hand turns being stuck
back
in that intersection. So we did extend those at the request of traffic. So we tried to alleviate as much of those concerns as we could.
Anything? My only concern is people parking in it overnight, and what you going to do?
Totally signs.
Well, you've agreed with the neighbors, no overnight parking?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Like I said, they could post.
Oh, you need a motion?
Yeah, it's your turn.
I move to approve subject to staff preliminary condition, if approved conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff's if approved conditions. All in favor? Actually, this is items 11 and 12, which is your vacate the easements on the Tamara Street. So we're approving items 11 and 12. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries.
Thank you.
And you go to BCC on 5-3. Item number 13, WS 230094, Laxmi Building LLC, waivers of development standards for the following: 1, reduce street landscaping; 2, waive Asian design overlay district standards; and 3, allow modified driveway design standards; and 4, reduce driveway distances from the intersection. design review for a proposed vehicle wash on 0.6 acres in an M1 light manufacturing zone in the Asian Design Overlay District, generally located on the west side of Wynn Road and the south side of Desert Inn within Paradise. Hi.
Hi, David Brown, 520 South 4th Street, on behalf of the applicant. The owner and developers are here in case you have any more sophisticated questions. I'll start with, I don't know how to blow it up to bring it a little closer.
That's
fine. Okay, you.
Yeah, we can see.
We can figure it out.
Can you just orient us on the streets?
Sure. This is Desert Inn. Okay. This will be on the northwest corner of Desert Inn Road. Right now, this is a vacant, old, abandoned warehouse. It would be a proposed car wash. It's 0.6 acres. It's a relatively small site. Staff is in agreement with three of the requested waivers. Those waivers are the reduced street landscaping, the wave Asian design overlay district standards, and reduced driveway distances. The only waiver we're requesting that they're not in agreement with is for throat depth, and I'll get into that in a moment. Staff had asked us, or the applicant, to close. There were previously, if it put up there for a moment, there were two access points. It's kind of hard to see with this, but there were two access points off of Desert Inn Road, which the applicant, because of staff's request, has agreed to close those. So the only access point to the property will be off Wynn Road, which is a less busy street, of course, than Desert Inn. The request is to reduce the throat depth to 16 feet where 25 feet is required. There are a number of reasons we think it's appropriate. One, of course, because of the size of the property, there really isn't a lot of room. The issue, of course, is the fear of parking. This is an automated car wash. There aren't going to be people parking in. There's no convenience store where people are going to go in. There's a warehouse. In an effort to try to address it as much as possible as well, the spots that would potentially most impact, theoretically, the throat depth and the access, those spots are going to be employee-only parking. So those are the kind of spots where someone's going to park their car. They'll be there for a 6 or 8 hour shift. They're only going to be used 2 or 3 times a day. The parking spots where they're open in case someone had a complaint or a question, they wanted to come in and speak to, you know, management, they could come in. Those spots are further up north on the property, as well as the vacuum stations. So like I said, the only spots that are right near the throat that are the employee in the parking. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close it to the public, open it to the board. So the throat depth question seems to be that the cars going out are going to conflict with the cars coming in, because you only have one entrance. Is that correct?
I think that's part of it, but that was the county's request, was to eliminate the entrance off of Desert Inn.
Okay. Because they didn't want cars backing up onto this.
I think that's probably part of it, but really the concern is with the parking, if that would cause a congestion, because that's what's impeding on the throat depth. But those parking spots, like I said, will just
right.
be employee-only.
Right.
And this is the kind of facility, really, you're not going to get 10 people that park in a day. It's just employees. There's no reason to go into the business. You're just going around and using the automated machine.
So there's no vacuums or anything.
There are the vacuums, but those are further up north on the property.
Anyone else have an idea?
And a lot of the vacuums are right here on the street.
Oh, do you have a drawing of what it's going to look like, since the Asian design was mentioned and you're not going to follow that?
You do have some. And one of the reasons staff was comfortable and had no objection to that waiver is the properties to the north and the south, they also don't have an Asian element design.
Okay. Well, you have a little bit. You have sort of an angled parapet.
It's a car wash.
No,
not just a gray box, it does have something. Okay.
Okay, well, nobody has anything else. I'll make a motion to approve, subject to the preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
5-3 BCC. Item number 14. Everybody must be here for 14. WS230108 SG Vegas Owner LLC. Waiver of development standards for the following: 1, reduce setbacks, and 2, increase the number of projecting signs. A design review for modifications to the approved comprehensive sign package in conjunction with an existing shopping center on a 1.8-acre portion of a 6-acre site in an H1 limited resort and apartment AE60 zone, generally located on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard South, 1,332 feet north of Tropicana Avenue within Paradise.
Hello. Thank you for hearing this petition. My name is Peter Hauser. I'm from Southland, Indiana.
Address, please?
6001 Nims Parkway, Southland, Indiana. So I'm here today to respectfully request a projecting sign. Top-down representation of it right there in blue. And if you look at the existing conditions, so the location, right, see where the gray area is, right next to the gray area, is the entrance to the Olive Garden and the Brew Dog Bar. And it's just completely lost on folks trying to get in and find that place. So what we're requesting is a projecting sign that will direct pedestrian traffic into that that doorway. And we're running the stables at this point. So you can kind of see over here, we did a photo overlay. Here's existing, and here the sign would be right here. It's in line with the other projecting signs. It was relative to the streetscape, and it should function very well to help people maneuver in that doorway. Go closer. Representation of it, and it's just, it does what it's supposed to do. It does have scintillating lights on the bottom. And here's from the other direction. So it should do exactly what we intended to do, which is the folks that are walking along Las Vegas Boulevard can find that door, get in there, and we can get a whole process.
Senator from the public who'd like to speak on this item. Seeing no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board. I noticed when I went and looked that at the bottom of your sign it says, enter here, and still no one can find the door. They go into the door next to it, not that
well, we
door.
We have a piece of wall with no sign on it.
If no one has anything, I'll make a motion to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Okay. No general business, Palaka. Item number 8, comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to your speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Would anyone like to speak? Please come up and take the microphone. Even though there's only a few of us, it has to go on the recorder. Give us your name and address.
Barbara Youngman, 3476 Sunny Hills Court. That's a cul-de-sac. And my question is, who is responsible for keeping people from parking in the street in a cul-de-sac? The problem is, my drive goes like this, and the people who live to the right park, have cars in their drive, and then they park behind those cars in the drive, and then sometimes people come and park behind those cars. I back out. It's dangerous. And I just need to know who's responsible for enforcing the fact that they should not be parking in the street.
That's a Blanca question.
It's a Metro question.
And
intentional is not
well, it is low on me, but it's also, how do I want to say, it can get very ugly.
Well, you said they're parking in the driveway, and they're parking behind the cars in the driveway. Are they blocking the sidewalk?
Well, oh yes, always. The sidewalk is always blocked.
So can't code enforcement do something there because of blocking a public area?
I put into that click, whatever it is,
fix
for the
it.
Community, and everyone passes the buck on this, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what happened with that. I just need to know, because the police are not willing to, what I want to say, understand the danger of people who are not able to use the cul-de-sac appropriately. The garbage people, we've asked them to report to Republic because they have trouble when they come. The street sweepers, I have a neighbor with a, trying to get a boat in and out of his garage, and he needs to be able to use the cul-de-sac. But when they're parked like that, basically, it's not usable as a cul-de-sac. So, okay, that's...
Unfortunately, it is Metro, so all you can do is file a report.
If they're blocking the public right away, but you need to send them pictures. And
to code enforcement?
Mm-hmm. On that fix-it, you can send pictures.
And then I would also go to First Tuesday. That's why.
Pardon me?
First Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Do you know First Tuesday is? It's a meeting that Metro has every first Tuesday of the month.
Dangerous. When I back out, if they're backing out at the same time, then I'm trying to angle around them and then try to turn and not get hit by somebody coming the other way. So it just, whatever.
Well,
I'm sure our
like Blanca
on
said,
place,
if you go to First Tuesday and see the COP officers that First Tuesday, those meetings last half hour, hour.
Okay.
And the officers are always there. And you can talk to them. Don't
all right.
Listen.
Make a friend.
Yeah, make a friend. You'll find out who the officers are.
Thank you.
A lot of pictures.
Okay.
Do you have anything yet? Okay.
I wanted to hear about the monorail because my son holds a condominium so long in University Center now. And what I would really have liked to have heard him say is where are all the stops, not just along there, but the ones that go downtown as well.
Oh, those two.
Okay,
you got a map?
Yeah.
Cool.
I brought an extra map.
There's always one person, and you are that person. There's one that's going to be in the Huntridge.
For right now, we'll get to this one step at a time, and the Huntridge is in the city of Las Vegas. So you have to ask them when they go to the city of Las Vegas. Some of this does include the city plans.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
okay.
They're not only going to go to the Board of County Commissioners, but also go to the city of Las Vegas.
Well, I'm going to close the meeting. Our next meeting is April 25th. Can I get a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Bye.